Okay, end of the show. It's on to the email section. I didn't wait for the thumb, did I, John? You fucker. Get your thumb out then.
One day we're going to get this right. One dim and distant day. Matt's just going to pick his nose and be bored.
It's an itchy nose.
I'm sure, yeah.
I'm back, it's back, Lug Radio, episode 26.
Nutsack.
That's season 2, episode 14.
Yes.
I'm Matthew Revell.
I'm Jono Bacon.
I'm Stuart Langridge.
I'm the fabulously bald Abe Bradshaw, and this is season Lug 2, Radio. Episode 14. Welcome back.
What do we got coming up in the show?
We have got the Seth, the Nickel.
The Seth Nickel.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if I need some cheerleaders, I'm not going to call you.
No, you've seen us in the skirt.
You want to see me wave my pom-poms, don't you, young man?
12, 24, 48.
Is that your Lug Radio rocks?
What else are we going to talk about?
The cow box is here.
We'll talk about...
Is there going to be any anger?
We'll be angry about something.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about distributions.
Hey, yep. Yeah, let's do that, okay.
We'll rate them.
Some kind of distro war.
Yes.
Distro
it's going to be... It's
distro
gonna
distro
be
war.
No Philippa Forrester.
It's going to be a new feature.
Have you replaced your voice box with a cow box?
Hang on.
Yes.
Anyway,
I thought we were keeping this a bit short.
What else did we talk about? Are we going to talk about...
Again!
Damn it!
Cock!
Right, what else are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about, frankly, shameful behaviour on part of some community.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Very serious. No, it's going to be a Lug Radio serious moment.
Yeah, a Lug Radio serious
moment. Go and stand in the corner and think about what you've done.
With teacher Matt. And of course we're going to read out your letters. And
your letters!
Talk about Lug Radio live.
Keep sending them in.
So, thank you very much. Let's get on with it.
Yeah!
Okay, of all the people to get for an interview this episode, we have got the god of usability in the Gnome camp. It is Seth Nickel. Let's give him a call.
Hi, Jono.
Hi, Seth. How are you doing? You're on Lug Radio.
It's not just Jono.
I've been reliably informed that it's not just Jono. You've actually got four of us to talk to
it's
here.
It's not all about you.
Oh, that's excellent. More people, the better, right?
That's the way it works, yeah. So what are you working on at the moment, Seth?
Right now, at the exact moment, I am trying to redesign Red Hat's internal bug tracking system to improve responsiveness.
Submit your bugs.
But kind of in the abstract, we've got a lot of stuff going on inside this group, ranging from trying to help admins be able to manage desktops more effectively,
really
down to doing crazy graphical effects and making X more sexy and generally interesting.
Well, I mean, obviously something we're going to talk about today is Luminosity and all the stuff that's going on there. The first question I'd like to ask you, Seth, is we're seeing all of this great eye candy. Is it actually, do you think it's going to, when it's, obviously Wobbly Windows was a test case, but do you think it can actually translate into useful interactions for people? Do you think it can translate into something that will actually help people use their desktop easy instead of just being eye candy?
I think it's really easy when you look at problems in the abstract and you sort of just look at what are the raw features, what can people technically do, to ignore the importance of improvements in the graphical systems. Just to give an example, there was a long period where people were using DOS, right? And basically business managers were saying, oh, you know, who needs this silly Windows crap and, who needs the graphics there? And if you look at it in the abstract, they have a very strong case, right? You can do all the same things technically. And I think there's still a few junkies out there who'll argue, the superiority of the command line and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with red hair, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
No, listen, I think they're really cool. I want to know, are we going to be able to get these in Fedora Core 4?
Fedora Core 4, no way. But
denied.
Fedora, actually, I think there's a possibility we might ship something in Fedora Core 4, but it certainly won't be on by default. We're kind of looking at FC5 and FC6 as targets for actually starting to land some of the stuff in Metacity itself.
Right.
Cool. One of the things I wanted to ask, if you look at Luminosity, you seem to have broken the news of that, and then Sabayon as well. Are you now the point man for declaring cool GNOME stuff to the world?
I hope not. I mean, each one of those things takes a while to write up. I think the biggest problem with me being the point man is that I always get things wrong when in my write-ups. And I get flamed by users and developers on both sides. But,
well,
you know...
You, You're going to turn into, you know, the Nat Friedman of Red Hat, obviously. Are you going to get an 80s haircut? I take that as a no.
I hope not.
Fantastic. So, I mean, what other kind of stuff do you think, I mean, all of this work that's going into, you know, Cairo and all the X stuff.
What?
Cairo.
Come on, guess. Come on,
purist, guess. Purist Englishman on the left. What are the bigger picture for this in terms of accessibility and things like that?
Are you specifically interested in accessibility or?
Yeah, well, anything in general. I mean, all I'm interested in, anything in terms of it not just being eye candy. I mean, do you think it's going to actually benefit in other ways? I mean, I think.
Okay, I think Cairo is probably by far the most down to earth and applicable of these things. One of the most important things Cairo is going to let us do is it's going to let us use very high resolution displays, which I don't think are that far off.
No.
Now, display resolutions are much in terms of pixel density are much higher than they used to be. And Cairo is going to let people render, you know, design the graphics at any resolution and sort of render them using, you know, very pretty text and very smooth things, which helps the human eye a lot and helps people to sort of grok pages.
Right.
In terms of other stuff, one of the important things that Cairo is letting graphic artists, in some ways be more expressive
with
what they're drawing to the screen.
Right.
And I know that sounds like eye candy, but a lot of what graphic artists do is very important to subtly hinting to people what things can do what, providing different sorts of affordances. So I think improving the graphics layer really helps designers to express themselves clearly to people rather than just splashing noise on the screen.
And have more control, I suppose you can say. Designers will have a bit more control over what they can do.
Yeah, that's certainly true. You know, and so you're sort of getting away. I mean, I actually think, you know, the Windows 95 monochrome gray, all buttons and all controls looking the same is actually very low usability. Now you don't want Kai Power Goo everywhere, you know, the sort of crazy interface, but there is a middle ground that's very good. If you think of a magazine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Magazines don't use a fixed layout for every page. It's not a good thing. They custom design each page to focus your eye on the important element.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
Well, talking about focusing your eye on the important element and things like that, recently there was the whole thing that Matthew Thomas wrote about Ubuntu usability. Did you manage to look at that? And if you did, you got any thoughts on some of the many things that he raised there?
Okay, so I have read through it. There are so many things there. I mean, it's absolutely thrilling that people are doing this sort of detailed analysis of this. With that, I want to add the caveat that while I would classify that sort of stuff as sort of a usability engineering, it's looking at what we have today and saying, how can we make the things that people can do with the computers more efficient?
Yeah, right.
Most of it is based on efficiency. And I think efficiency is interesting, but if you look at real industry changes and if you look at what software, what really makes people use computers, efficiency has not that much to do with it.
Totally.
But Matthew Thomas, I wouldn't wish to disagree with an expert such as yourself, but Matthew Thomas seemed to, from my reading of it, be quite convinced that what he was saying was absolutely fundamental to the success or otherwise of Ubuntu. You don't seem to think the same way.
A lot of people look at the Macintosh, including Matthew, and both Matthew and I have a lot of admiration, particularly for the classic Macintosh for this reason, of looking to it as a model of this sort of great detailed usability. But I think when you start looking at these things and you start looking at what's really interesting about them, Macintosh is a great example.
Okay.
The old Macintosh really didn't catch on that much, and even though it had great detailed usability, and if you were already using the environment, it was a very pleasant experience, nothing is quite as pleasant as what you're used to. Usability engineering is all about increasing the detailed pleasantness. On the other hand, Apple has really changed their strategy these days, and if you look at like the iPod, what the iPod is actually doing is it's providing very new experiences. It's allowing totally different things to a wide audience that they really didn't have access or didn't know about before.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in that sort of interaction design than I am about the usability engineering. I think if you do good interaction design, usability engineering follows naturally, but the reverse is not necessarily true.
Right. Now, something I'd be interested to ask you from the usability and the interaction standpoint is there's a lot of theories, there's a lot of talk and this kind of blue sky research and funding and things like that going into usability. Do you believe that usability theories can just be implemented and they work? Or do you believe a lot of it is just theory for the sake of theory?
So I just got back from the CHI conference, which is the largest human-computer interaction conference, a couple weeks ago. And to be quite frank, academic HCI is has basically two sorts of papers that get produced. Crazy designs that done by people who aren't very good designers is
That's
one category
right.
of thing.
Right.
And the other category of things are things that are so detail-oriented that they have almost negligible impact.
Right.
I mean, somebody could conceivably use them, but nobody's building. I don't think of HCI as a science right now. I think design's an art, and maybe someday HCI will be a useful science, but for now, it's just it's a circle jerk right now. So.
Right. Well, we're very familiar with circle jerks. And,
You're familiar with circle jerks, Matt.
Listen, be quite lucky, Pierre.
And I say this as somebody, I've published papers in that community, and, I like interacting with them, and I think some of the stuff is interesting, but the net effectiveness on what the industry is doing is very low right now.
Right.
Seth, could you our listeners aren't all, they're from all sorts of different backgrounds and everything. Could you just maybe briefly explain what exactly usability and human interaction interface design are? Because I'm sure a lot of our people will just load up their desktop and go, oh, right, okay, I'll click on that, without actually thinking what goes behind it.
So, I mean, there's one of the complexities here is there's a lot of different approaches. There's been kind of these talks of this something called HCD or UCD, user-centered design.
Yeah.
And this is something of a formal process where, you go through these formal phases of, you testing and you do certain sorts of evaluation. But I would say a lot of this stuff is very much doing usability after the fact, after the engineering's been done.
Right, right.
Microsoft is actually a huge proponent of this, and I think Microsoft Office is a great example of a piece of software that's had ungodly amounts of money put into usability with not a lot of strong impact. It's very usable software, but it's not very well-designed software.
Okay. A question that I was going to ask, which kind of pertains to this, is that as a developer...
Mm-hmm.
What should be the thing that I do to improve usability? Now, before, I think a lot of people would either say, what the hell is usability, or they'd expect you to talk about Fitt's law and making things, making things pixel perfect in positioning and things like that. But from the way you're speaking, you're talking more about a broad sweep kind of thing rather than the minutiae that you've talked about. So, what should we be doing as developers?
Right. I think that the minutiae of usability engineering is important. So what I would consider myself as doing is something like interaction design, or another word that's used is experience design. And so basically, I mean, the core of that is whenever you're doing something, always think about the user goals. Think of it in a high level sense. What is this person trying to get done? That's even more than tasks.
Right.
So to give a highest level example of a user goal, when we're talking about designing for system administrators, one of the goals that we found system administrators have very strongly is to not look stupid, is to always look like they're on top of things in your goal.
Right, okay.
Right? And so that's not a task that you can put, but it's a general understanding of system administrators that you can apply to any situation where you're designing and help them accomplish that goal.
One of the things
that turns out sysadmins really love is actually finding problems before they occur, and not just finding them, but letting other people know that they found them before they occur. People see how smart and effective they are,
Right, okay. So, I mean, it's great having... these grand usability and interaction goals. But one of the questions that kind of plagues my mind a little bit is the way that the whole, Linux desktop works is, it's just lots of different fragmented projects put together, you could perhaps say. So do we stand as a community any chance of creating anything that could realistically provide the same sort of usability that a macOS user, or even dare I say a Windows user, could expect from their operating system?
I think yes, but I think in some sense that's because the bar set by these environments actually isn't that high. I'm down on things, but I think the state of design is inside of open source desktop projects is you know, completely broken, but on the other hand, it's pretty broken inside most software companies too. So there is a great opportunity to design some absolutely fantastic user experiences that go beyond those things. I don't see our existing community structures as supporting that, but I think we're moving in the right direction. I think we have the right interest.
Think we are, definitely. With the Sabion project, mm-hmm. is that kind of Red Hat moving more towards unifying the desktop so they all have the same kind of feel?
Sabion?
Is that what Sabion's about?
Oh no, Sabion, what Sabion is Sabion is a way to let, so we have this problem of when we're trying to make control panels for different settings on the desktop, right?
Right, yeah.
And we've always had this problem that we've always tried to design an interface for users to use and then an interface for sysadmins to use.
Sure, yeah.
It creates this problem that a lot of sysadmins are actually ad hoc sysadmins, someone, you know, inside the department who starts managing more computers for other people or helping people with problems.
Right.
And a lot of the way sysadmins come through is they're people, a lot of times they're just kids in high school who like to tinker with computers and, you know, later started working on this. And so Sabion allows system administrators to set up default user profiles using sort of a nested session exactly like a user session. So they log into this virtual desktop, they change whatever they want, and then they say save it, and then they've got this profile that they can push out to 1,000 computers and have them all look like that.
No, I think it's a great idea.
Cool.
Fantastic. Seth, we're going to have to wrap it up fairly soon, but something I wanted to ask you about, moving away from usability slightly, but one thing you posted on your blog, which I think we all read fairly regularly, was that Red Hat don't tend to talk about so much about all the cool stuff that Red Hat are working on, whereas I think it was, maybe it was Havok or yourself said it, that you're really bad at actually telling the world about what you're hacking on. What kind of stuff... we were always hearing about Novell and the work that they're doing, obviously the guys who used to be with Zimian. What kind of stuff, how does the work that you're doing compare to the work that they're doing? Is it heading in the same direction or is it fairly varied?
I think we're all pretty much heading in the same direction. I think we're all varied. For example, Red Hat's put a significant investment over the years and has increased it to this, at this point, into X, right?
Right, yeah.
And so I think everyone benefits from the changes to X.
Yeah.
We're also putting some energy into OpenOffice as well as Novell. So
fantastic.
I think in some cases we're complementary in the sense that we're doing different projects, and in some cases we're putting the energies into the same projects.
Right, okay.
I think one of the big problems, I mean, in terms of a lot of the stuff we do, like, you know, we have, you know, some half dozen people whose job is basically doing unsexy GNOME core maintenance, right?
Okay. Right, yeah.
Not much to publicize there, but it's important to actually keep things moving forward there.
Okay. Just finally, Seth, what's that? I know it's on your website. You've got something called Yarr or something like that.
Yarr.
What's all that about?
All right.
Yarr.
Not a good thing to bring up at the closing. Yarr is,
really?
is to me the most exciting project we have going on. What we're trying to do with Yarr is we're trying to...
Like
it's
pirates.
The hardest one to explain to. I don't want to say it's a collaborative interaction, you know, suite for collaboration. What Yarr is a very different way. It's sort of a rephrasing of how IRC and email interact.
Oh.
Actually, there's some live stuff up right now. I'm probably going to have to do a big write-up on that sooner or later. But,
cool.
I
look forward to that.
Is this a groove sort of a thing or entirely different?
If you were thinking of this from like really high, you know, astronaut level, it might look sort of like a group thing. So here's one of the fundamental observations of Yarr is that, email threads tend to have people saying long things and talking past each other.
Right.
Whereas chat sessions, in some ways, people can actually come to more agreement, but then in an open source project, for example, you don't have a record of what happened.
Okay,
so there's kind of this conflict. What Yarr sort of does is, one of the ways Yarr works right now is you can have this chat session and, you know, you can have a whiteboard and you can be drawing on the whiteboard and every time you type a line it actually shows this thumbnail of what the whiteboard looked like right then. And then
nice.
You can have these chats and then together with the people you were chatting with, you can collectively write a message together that later gets posted to the list, which is a summary of what you chatted about. And we make it very easy to, like, just take random words and phrases and lines from that discussion and move it into the summary. So it's very quick to have this detailed chat with someone, and anyone can see the chat happening and join in.
Right, yeah.
And then to turn that into, you know, either a sketch or something, because we have this whiteboard built in, or a summary. So everyone else reads less, and you actually discuss more. So.
Sounds cool. Yeah. That sounds absolutely fascinating. I mean, unfortunately, we're gonna have to wrap things up, Seth. Thank you very much for coming
on the
show.
Been great talking to you.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Thanks, Amos.
We appreciate you're a busy chap. Just before we go, 5 minute catch-up. Can we ask two things? First of all, in the future, we're going to do these 5 minute catch-ups. Would it be fine to give you a call at some point in the future and find out what you're doing?
Sure, absolutely.
And the second thing, Seth, could you say, my name is Seth Nickel, and you are listening to Lug Radio?
My name is Seth Nickel, and you are listening to Lug Radio.
Nice. Thanks a lot, Seth.
Cheers.
Nice one. Take care, mate.
Bye.
Brace yourself for Neuro, sound like an American.
You've heard their show. You've heard them swear. You've heard them talk Linux. You've heard them talk pies. You've heard them swear again. You've even heard the accordion. Now you can touch, poke, prod, and squeeze to your heart's content at Lug Radio. Live. Taking place at Malmö Stadium, Wolverhampton on Saturday the 25th of June. For more details of how to get there, who's speaking, and where to stay, visit www.lugradio.org/live.
Okay, so this week we're going to start what's going to be a running feature for the next few shows.
Yes.
In that, and I think, what are we going to call it, Matt?
Distro Panel!
Yes, thank you for that.
We can
call
it Distro Wars.
Yes.
There's a lot more cool.
Oh, sorry.
Distro Wars! In a galaxy
far away. That was a lot cooler, boys. Thank you very much for that. So anyway, the Distro Panel.
Distro Wars!
God, I've lost it already.
Distro Wars!
Distro Wars! Alright, Distro Wars. Before everyone lapses into a coma, let's start it, shall we? Okay, so this is how it works. We're going to pick just our favourite distros.
On everyone.
We've got a list of distros. We've got Red Hat, we've got Linspire, we've got the Novell Linux desktop, we've got Ubuntu, of course.
Ubuntu.
We've got Zandros, and we've got Gentoo. And basically what we're going to do, we're going to mark them from 5 to minus 5 on a scale.
Yes.
And each week we're going to mark them on a different element. So this week, we're going to mark them on evilness. And this is the way the scores work. 5 is going to be not evil at all. Minus 5, of course, horrendously evil.
Now, what do we mean by evil?
Just...
Are we talking ethics as in they give
ethically,
or
ethically
just, or
evil.
Just we hate them
if
because
it comes around
they're arseholes?
Well, whatever. You can very put your evil. Own emphasis on it.
Your own so spin.
We'll start
your
this
own
week.
Tony Blair on it.
Thank you for that.
Thanks.
We'll start this week. We'll give our scores for what we think for these distros. By all means, write in and give us what you think your scores are.
Yes.
Next week, what are we going to do next time?
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
I don't know. We'll think about it.
We'll think about something next time.
So what's the first distro?
Yeah.
Red Hat.
Let's look
Red
at the lovely, the lovely Red Hat.
I'm going to with a little score chart.
So minus 5 to 5. I'm bound to say 5.
Right. You think Red Hat are
they
entirely
are the
un-evil.
Best company
substantiate
in the world.
That.
Well, 4.5 then.
What have they done that's...
They've given us Fedora.
Okay.
Fair okay,
enough.
Fine. Okay,
Matt,
next one. Oh, me.
You said keep
right.
it short. Our rule for this is we're going to keep it very
you
short.
You talk a lot of shit, Bal.
We said we were going to keep this section short.
Evility for Red Hat,
evility.
I would say...
That's not a word.
It is now. Justification.
Justification. Fedora, thanks a lot. Employing Seth Nickel and people like that, thanks a lot. But bloody hell, Red Hat Enterprise Center, that's a lot of money for...
It is a lot of money, yeah.
Yep. Basically, fuck all. But for, you don't care, Baldman.
I know.
You rate them 4.5.
People get white box Linux. It's the same thing, but for free.
Well, don't go with the white box. Go with CentOS.
CentOS,
but anyway,
yeah.
Eh?
CentOS.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Jono,
evility. Let's Jono have your Baldman. Opinion.
4. I say 4 because...
See, you surprised me with that.
They brought us Fedora, which is a good thing. I don't personally use it, but it's a good thing. They
you employed, did once, allegedly.
I did once, yeah. You used Python recently. I don't think so, no. It's a shit.
Not
so
at all. Ack, have you used Fedora?
Yes.
Have you bollocks. You haven't even got the disks yet, have you?
Keep
anyway,
on
back to
so, yeah, four.
Ability.
Go on. All right, I'm pretty much in agreement with everyone else. Fedora, yes. Employing good people, yes. Red Hat Enterprise Server, an awful lot of money for stuff that we contribute to and we don't get back. Fuck a bunch of that. 3.
3's quite high, considering you gave all of that. Okay, let's move on then. Linspire.
Linspire.
So,
aid.
Before
We have recently spoken to Kevin Carmody, which we'll use in a future episode just to stop Aid from saying, after we just spoke to Kevin Carmody.
I was just thinking exactly the same thing. But Aid didn't say that.
He very nearly did.
Thank you very much.
Who fuck it up?
Hey, Bradshaw.
Fuck off.
Right, hey, go on.
Baldman, Linspire.
So what do you think about the utterly shit Linspire? I'm only joking.
Based on what they're aiming at, their target audience and all the rest of it, I'm going to give them a minus one.
Okay.
Minus one
for Aid.
That's pretty low.
It is pretty low.
But bear in mind he hated them completely before.
Before what, Matthew?
Before the interview.
Before something that will happen in the future.
Yes.
Okay. Matthew.
See, I don't know, Travel. Because actually, having used it, I can see what they're saying. There are some good things, but it did kind of fuck up my hard drive a bit. Well, no, it fucked up my Ubuntu install.
And you had a heart attack.
So we've got to give it good points for that.
Matt had a heart attack because
he used it. I didn't have a heart attack.
Linspire, 5-0, as they call it. 5-0. Hawaii, 5-0.
Yeah, but it's unfortunately 5-0 beats per minute, which is a big problem for Matt.
I didn't have a heart attack. Anyway, I'm going to give it 2 because I see where they're coming from. I don't like the kind of... I don't like the...
Tackiness.
The tackiness of it, let's put it that way. But they're doing some good stuff, and they're giving most of it, not all of it, most of it back to the community, so well done.
Okay. Jono?
Right. -3.
Ooh, harshness.
Yeah.
Explain.
A few reasons. First of all, I don't like companies who basically base their products by copying their products on something else. And, they were called Lindos, for God's sake.
Open Office.
What about iRiver? That copies the iPod.
I'm not denying the fact that you can inspire from products, but...
Or Linspire, maybe.
You know, but with Linspire, it feels rather... Their inspiration from these other products feels a bit cheap for me.
Okay.
So it's kind of like I can see where they're coming from, and I've got nothing against them for doing it. But the only other thing is stuff like Click and Run. Click and Run's a good idea, but... I think we need to make the current systems better
okay.
As opposed to just making a proprietary solution.
Gingerman, what do you think?
Ging Machine.
-1.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think they are contributing stuff back, and that stops them quite a long way being evil. Now, the stuff they're contributing back I don't particularly like, and I think that everything to do that's innovative isn't free, and everything to do that's free isn't innovative, but...
Not necessarily, but, yeah.
But it's certainly the impression I get, and having spoken to Kevin Carmody, he's not entirely dispelled that impression in my mind. They would have got about a -9 before I spoke to them, so good work to Kevin. This is all one sentence, by the way. I all spoke to Kevin, so good work to them for, I think...
You can hear this interview in the next show, by the way.
Somewhat in the right place.
Yes, yes.
But I basically don't like the idea that they're attempting to clone other stuff, because I think part of our responsibility is to make stuff better.
Yes.
Okay,
sure.
Cool. Nice one.
Okay, so next on
the list. Sorry, can I just ask you a quick question before we move on? Everyone.
Go for it.
We've interviewed them. Obviously, you guys are going to hear it next week.
You have to wait till next week.
Has your opinion... Like, my opinion's gone up of
definitely,
them.
Yeah.
Mine, absolutely. So would you... You'd have all rated below.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, I'd have put them at 0.
Right. What did you give them? You gave them 2.
I gave them 2.
But that's just because you got a free copy.
Well,
why don't you just download it off the internet?
Off the global interweb. Anyway, moving on.
Next one.
We've actually written down, Novell Linux Desktop. But should we just say Novell in general?
And
rather
Susie
than
and
just
Novell.
So you want to include Susie as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
the whole Novell shebang.
Yes, because Novell Linux Desktop is based on Susie, of course.
I'm going to say 3. I think they're basically good. I like the way they're putting a lot of effort into the Novell Linux Desktop.
Look at it.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Ha ha!
I'm going to give them 2.
I'm loving the mono.
I'm going to give them 2 because I really don't see how different they are to... I do see that. No, okay.
They are different.
Shush.
Oh, sorry,
I didn't say anything. I'm going to give them 2 because they're still a big corporate company who could do scary things and...
You can't mark them down for that.
No, because... Sorry, but really, guys, there is the potential, though, that they're taking a big chunk, a big name, and sticking it next to Linux, and it could do bad things, it could do good things.
But they're
things.
Not doing bad things, they're doing good things.
Well, ACK doesn't like mono. But anyway, okay, I'm just saying.
Okay,
I'm going to
we'll
give them
see
2.
ACK score
that's
in a moment.
My reason,
okay? Remaining very tight-lipped. Jono?
Yeah, I'd give them probably 2 or 3.
Which is it?
2.5. 2.5.
Decisive as ever.
I think they're doing some great work, and... They're doing some very innovative work.
I have to say, you're marking higher than I thought for these corporate companies.
Oh, right. Yeah. I like Novell, and I like the work they're doing. I'm not... Personally, I'm not into mono. for various reasons, but not just ethical reasons, but, you know, it's just not, I'm just not into it.
Okay.
But it seems, yeah, they're doing some great work. They're targeting an important market. My only criticism of them is that they're not targeting parts of that market that they should be. I mean, I talked to you, Aid, over lunch the other day about Active Directory.
Yeah, we did have a chat about
and,
that. We'll say that for another time, I think.
And we'll say that for another time, but they should be going into places and solving solutions such as that. So
see, I think they are.
Evil, does it?
No, I'm not saying it makes
but
them evil.
But I think they are addressing that, and I'd be interested to talk to them about that. But anyway, as you say, we'll keep that for a future
I wouldn't
show.
Say they're actually, I'll rate them up to a 3, because I don't think they're evil really that much at all.
Okay, so, Ginger Man, what do you think of Novell?
I'd give them 2.
Probably higher than I expected.
The major reason for that is that I haven't seen a great deal that's genuinely useful which they have contributed to the community, with the exception of Mono, and I don't like Mono for reasons I have put in previous episodes, and they're not just reasons why I don't like it, the reasons why I think Mono as a concept is
a lot of bits
evil.
Of Gnome, though.
They're pouring a lot of resource into Linux,
I mean, I'm seeing that they're pouring a lot of resource in, but I'm not seeing much as kind of, I mean, Hoola, for example.
Yeah,
it's useful there as code, but no one's actually running it. Yeah.
I've got like Hoola account
a couple of months ago, for fuck's sake. Exactly, but
then they just released the code. They was mainly for developers, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's the point. I'm not seeing a lot that they've done, which is a genuine contribution to
Beagle, Spot, Tomboy.
These are all brand new.
They seem
things.
To believe in the product.
They're
not moving all the desktops
the, they're
over.
Not particularly in the thing.
Yeah, but name another company who's necessarily.
Anyway, keep it short. Sure, remember, keep it
yes.
short. Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. So
you're wrong, but carry on.
We're going to move on to a distro.
It is. Yeah, it is.
We're going to move on to a distro that one or two of you might have heard of. And it is Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu, mate.
Ubuntu.
So, Ubuntu.
As J-Dub says.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that we're rating them on evilness.
On evilness.
Okay.
2.5.
How are they evil?
Yeah, you're right. We're basing it on evilness.
We're basing
aren't
it on
we?
Evilness.
Okay, like so 4 then. They're not evil.
So which bit of them is evil if you're giving them a 4? Not wishing to influence your opinion.
you have to justify why it's not a 5, I think.
I have to justify why it's not a 5.
Does he? Because it's saying that they're not evil. He's just giving a...
He's just given a level of evility that isn't entirely 100% evil. Well, the Debian people...
Evaluate the evility.
...aren't exactly thrilled with them, by the sounds
no,
of it.
Ian Murdoch's
not... Don't make them evil. That might make them argumentative.
Ian Murdoch's not thrilled with them. That's because he owns Progeny. That's the reason why.
Okay, but I still think 4.
4.
Okay.
Matthew, revel. Revelation.
Revel your opinion.
I'm going to give him 4.75.
We're not accepting 3/4.
All
right then.
How many decimal places do we accept?
4.75. Just call it 0.75, yeah.
All right, 4.75, because...
Because Mark Shuttleworth stood on your toe the other day or something.
Everything I've seen from them seems to be good, but you just never know.
So essentially, you'd never give anyone a 5.
I'd never give anyone a 5, no. Because
so basically,
Jesus Linux comes
out. Unless Mark Shuttleworth gave me a job, then I'd give him 5.
You sad bastard.
Nice and balanced there, Matthew. Thank
for
you, Jono.
For a quarter of a percentage point, yes.
You can be bought, can't
it's
you?
It's not a percentage, but anyway, carry on, Jono.
I'm going to give them a 5. I know that's not surprising. Because I can't think of anything they're doing that is evil. I mean, I like Ubuntu, and I honestly can't think of anything they're doing that is in detriment to the values that I value in terms of getting Linux in the hands of regular people and maintaining the community that we've got.
The broke totem.
Listen to you being much better than me in your answer.
Yeah, yes, actually.
Essentially, I had a really good answer done there, and John, I just said it. I genuinely can't think of anything that they're doing that's evil. They might not be...
That's why you guys are marking the other so high.
Unless we qualify things by saying that they are evil by not contributing stuff as much as someone like Red Hat are.
Okay.
And I think that that's a function of the size of their team. Rather than anything else.
They're contributing more.
I think they're
contributing... Well, they've got more money than fucking Red Hat.
I think they can't...
No, they don't.
That's what they said.
Shuttleworth has.
Oh, okay.
And I agree with you. I mean, and if we were marking Mark Shuttleworth, I don't know whether you can call the bloke evil because he didn't immediately take his whole fortune and blow it on free software, by the way.
I think that it's taken any of his fortune gives him a 5 personally, to be honest.
Well, the fact that he's given some money.
I don't remember you giving him a 5, Matthew.
I'm giving him a 5. Oh, yeah. Ubuntu,
but
I'm giving 4.75.
I'd give him 1.
But just because you want a job from him, you
lame
bastard.
No,
it's not!
Yes,
all right, contain the anger, Matthew.
Yeah, so
let's move on.
So I'd rate them a 5.
Let's move on to the the somewhat wonderful Zandros desktop then.
Such cynicism.
Minus two.
Okay, minus two.
And my justification is, it's shit.
I'm going to give a minus three, minus two, because I just don't see what the point of them is, and I don't see why there's any point in there basically making things entirely Windows-y, trying to take what is a good operating system, you know, the whole kind of Debian system, and just turning it into something that's got proprietary stuff in it.
Taking our work and turning it into something bad.
Minus two, yeah, minus two. Okay. My answer's terrible.
It's a lot better than my answer.
What I'm trying to say. Shit. That was your answer.
Okay, Jono, your answer.
This is interesting because a while back, I'm going to try and keep this to one sentence. A while back, I reviewed Zandros for Linux format.
And one sentence.
And I was very favourable of them.
That's me too.
Shut up. I was very favourable of Zandros because at the time they
you were getting a bunk.
At the time they were producing a Linux distribution that out was much easier, much better for novice users. Since then we've had things like Fedora and we've had Ubuntu come along. And Linspire's, in all honesty, Linspire's matured a lot as well. And Zandros are just trying to rip off Windows, from what I can see, by calling things the C drive and the D drive. As soon as someone picks up a Linux book and they don't see that in there, it's going to confuse them. So, and they don't seem to be anything to do with the community. You never really
hear
about
Zandros. They're not down with the vibe.
No. You don't hear about Zandros contributing to things.
No, fantastic one word answer, Jono. Thank you for that.
So I'm going to give them a minus four because I think they're evil, but you know they're not like going around attacking small animals or anything.
Excellent, so. Right? As far as we know. But anyway, Ak.
I've decided that I hate going last.
right. You like
my opinion on Zandros again has been recorded in Lug Radio episodes past him, in that I think that
exactly as
the rest of you have said, they do not contribute back to the community. They are doing all the things of which I would have accused Linspire. They are basically not interested in furthering the cause of Linux. They are interested in furthering the cause of Zandros at the expense of the cause of Linux.
Maybe we need to interview the guy from Zandros.
Case in point, you know. Kevin Carmody was happy to come on here and talk to them.
They don't talk to us, we hate them. That's the way it works.
Okay. I'd give them a minus four.
Final one.
Okay. Licorice happy.
So moving on to the last one then. And we've chosen
play chorus
for licorice, man.
Look, you're not American. You're not supposed to pronounce everything wrong.
It's meant to sound like licorice, surely.
No.
Surely not. Anyway, the last distro. I'm not sure how many of us have actually tried it. None of us are actually of pensionable age, so I think possibly not. It's Gentoo.
I've tried
because we've had to have compiled our kernel, wait until we got to 60, and finished. Anyway, we're marking it on Evility, remember?
Yep.
Not on whether it's actually worth waiting a weekend for. So Evility, I would say four. I don't think they're evil. Four. Whatever.
I don't know enough about them to... I mean, I've tried Gentoo.
No, you're very young, Matthew,
as a
remember?
Company or an organisation, sorry. I don't know enough about them to say anything but a four because they appear to give stuff back. They appear to be
they're all about
doing
it,
all
basically.
The right things. Yeah. And, you know, I can't say anything against them.
Okay, Jono?
Don't like it myself, purely because...
No, it's not about liking.
I know, I'm getting there. Just purely because I don't want to wait around for stuff compiling.
But as we say,
we're talking about evilness. Mm. I can't see any evil in Gentoo, so I'll probably give them a five as well, to be honest.
A five?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Mr. Language.
And I'd be exactly the same. I can't see anything evil that Ubuntu are doing, and I can't see anything evil that Gentoo are doing.
Yep.
Therefore, they both justify a five.
Okay. So, if we have a little bit of a drum roll at this point, and we come up with the scores.
That was a bit shady.
In reverse order, Mr. Ack.
In reverse order.
How exciting is this?
It's the Linux User Group Radio.
You've forgotten the name of this section,
Wars,
haven't you? Thank you.
Look, Evility rating.
Can we get Philippa Forrester in?
Lug Radio.
Can I get in Philippa Forrester? Really?
I doubt it.
Okay, no. In last place by some considerable margin.
Let me guess.
We have the mighty and proprietary Zandros with minus 12 points.
Minus 12.
Following it up, Linspire with minus 3.
Congratulations, Linspire.
Novell Linux Desktop and the whole
Novell.
enormous Novell Empire with 10 points. Woo! Red Hat with 14.5.
Oh, no.
Gentoo with 18. And just making it into the gold position is Ubuntu with 18 and 3 quarters.
I'll tell you what, I'll up it to 5 because it's silly not to, so give it 19.
You can't just change the scores, Matthew. No, that's not the way it works.
No. You can't change the scores when we've...
The results were in.
No, okay. So, there we go. We have decided that Ubuntu is the...
Least evil distribution.
And Zandros is the most evil distribution. Tune in next
time. Okay, so in a few weeks' time, we'll give you like the totals, and it'll be like that thing I did on Fifth Gear.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay, so write in with what you think is your evility scores for your distros. Write in to show at
LogRadio. And also suggest what we should do next time.
Yeah. And, yeah, some suggestions for the next one.
If anyone owns a trophy shop, send us a shit trophy that we can send to
you. I used to have a trophy wife.
I'm sure you did.
Did you really?
No. You just haven't atrophied one. Tell us what I've
atrophied one.
All the muscles are just disappeared.
It wouldn't sound funny if I pronounced it right, because no one would have got the connection.
Yeah, shut up.
Tell us about the pathetic one-man user distribution that you use, and why we should have rated it.
Well, I thought you were talking to me then.
No,
he's just looking at you.
No, I was talking to the listeners. That's how it works. I speak into the mic, but the listeners hear it.
Okay, recently I read something on Slashdot of all sites.
Take the Slashdot.
Basically, there was a woman from some particular, I think it's a research organisation called Yankee Group. And she... Thanks, Matt.
Jesus, Matt. I nearly had heart failure then. Oh, no, that's you, isn't it?
That's Matt.
You bastard.
And basically, what happened was that some kind of research report was done, which kind of went against open source. And apparently, this young lady was getting some
the community as a whole ganged up.
Basically, ganged up and gave her a load of shit. And
crank calls.
I haven't read it for a few days, but I think she was saying that she got some crank calls and some nasty hate mail.
This is horrendous, isn't it?
It's terrible.
I mean, the first experience of open source community is a load of shit phone calls.
Now, what I want to ask...
Welcome to open source.
...in this segment is...
Open sourcing.
How far should people go? Because I think this is atrocious. I mean, it's fine to talk... I mean, we talk about things in a very sort of light-hearted manner, and we've given out some criticism, but we don't try to be offensive. We try to be just light-hearted and fun and debated.
Yeah.
And that is abuse. Now, what do we think about this?
I equally was reading something on the internet the other day that
aren't you both learned? Aren't you just learned?
Shut up. I was reading something as well on the internet that I can't remember what it was, but basically it was saying that...
XNXX.com.
really, I'll have to look at that one.
Tubgirl.com.
Tubjono.com. Anyway, it was saying that the problem that we've got as a community is that... I think it was actually on the Ubuntu Soundlist. You've got... shut up. Microsoft... All these sorts of people, they're all limited in what they're allowed to, in what their employees can say. So the view from Microsoft is always the official view, unless it's some guy saying, hey, I saw a load of G5s being delivered the other day, because he gets his contract terminated. So
allegedly. We should imagine.
Well, he did, didn't he?
that was Pucker. That actually happened.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, people like Apple, Lynn Spire perhaps, you know, people like that can all say, right, this is what you're allowed to say, these people are allowed to say it, and these people just aren't allowed to say anything. In the open source world, we're lumped all together as the open source community, or the free software community, often used interchangeably, incorrectly, and yet nobody says you can say this or you can't say this. So you have all these zealoty arseholes who exist on the fringes of the community, contribute nothing except for paranoia and probably worse FUD than Microsoft could. And
ooh.
And the content of Slash.
You're really fired up on this, aren't you?
I am, because...
He's getting angry.
He's almost angry.
I'm a normal,
anger's back.
I'm a normal bloke, right? I'm not a hacker, as you know.
No, you're not. You're extremely abnormal.
Oh, I'm a freak. I wear a wicked jacket and I pretended to have a heart attack the other day. So, all right, good. But the point is, right, that what really fucks me off is you have these snivelling little shits in the bedroom going,
I will only use Slackware, and if you're from the Yankee Group, whatever that may be, this evil, say anything against my precious Linux, I will fuck you over.
I hate that shit, because basically what we're trying to do here is show the world that there is a better way. It's not fucking, I'd like to buy the world of Coke, it's I'd like to buy the fucking world a copy of Ubuntu.
Yes,
or any other operating system.
Or Fedora, or whatever. And you've got these guys who are sitting around just slashing all over it for the rest of us. I use the word slash there advisedly.
Thank you,
okay,
mate.
So where does pop that?
So where does advocacy turn into?
Spit at the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, where does advocacy go to take a step too far, basically?
I think the problem.
It's not advocacy.
It's not. I think the problem is extremism, and extremism in any form is bad.
Talking of extremism, I listened to Linus Tech Show last week.
They're really extreme, aren't they? Yes.
No, but they interviewed Stormen, if you'd have listened.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, you listened to the GNU Linux Tech Show.
I listened to the GNU Linux Tech Show, yeah. So I was expecting a lot of sort of extreme views from him, but he didn't really come across with that. He seemed quite controlled in that particular interview.
Yeah.
Except apart from they had to call change the name of their show. Yeah.
You know, everybody keeps saying to us we should get RMS on the show.
No.
It won't ever be called the GNU Lug Radio Show.
We're not going to shift just because he wants us to change the name of the show to come on it.
Full respect to him, yeah. But...
Well, no, not full respect. Okay, he did the GPL, thanks. He did Emacs, thanks. He did the GCC, thanks. Good, he did a lot
it
of work.
It was quite an interesting interview, I have to say.
No, that's not the point. The point is that there is no way that we should have to give in to his freedom to call our show Glug Radio. You know, that's not freedom. That's
infringing on our freedom,
yeah,
to
exactly.
call the show what we want. At the end of the day, yeah,
well,
we're just
to be
a
fair,
radio
he hasn't told us that. But.
We're just a radio show, but I think we're doing our bit as the radio show in informing the community about various things. But the thing is, I mean, I don't know.
Many and various things.
Extremism in any its forms is bad.
You're very quiet on this subject, Ak. Are you,
No, I mean, I think...
He's an extremist. Well, feeling guilty.
You have been called zealoty in the past.
I have been called zealoty. I do try not to be so extreme that my advocacy spills over the edge into abuse. I mean, I think the distinction with the Yankee group thing is that to some extent, it might be all right to have a pop at the Yankee group. But they didn't have a pop at the Yankee group, they had a pop at that woman.
They didn't have a pop at her, they stalked, from the sounds of it, harassed her.
Yeah, I mean, this is the point, I mean, it's completely out of order.
This is a suicide bombing of open source.
You don't represent us, basically.
The reason that it's... The reason
These people
that it
don't
is
represent us.
Completely out of order is that... They were attacking the woman, not the Yankee group.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and she's got a life outside her job, and you can't attack her just because she works for them. That's the equivalent of firebombing doctors because they perform abortions.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the root cause, is the fact that the people who are the subject of this abuse do have a life outside of their jobs, and a lot of the people who are giving out the abuse either don't have a life outside of that, or they can't understand people who do have a life
outside
of that.
They're consumed by their love.
But it's. I mean, the example I was going to give was, crazy animal rights people.
Yeah.
I agree in principle with them. I agree that it's wrong to be cruel to animals.
But you shouldn't be digging people out of graves like that.
That
news story
just
recently.
Sick. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You're not helping anyone there.
No. It's just ridiculous. So it's kind of...
So just calm down, everyone.
It concerns me because these people do let the community down. I know they think that they're helping the community, but they're honestly not, because we're not going to be taken seriously by anyone if this is the case.
I wonder if they really do think they're helping the community, or if they're just on this kind of... Like I said before, there used to be a way of being elite was to hack into machines and to work out if you could fake someone's login and then bash up a website, you know, knacker up someone's website. And now the way to be elite is more to be an open source hacker, perhaps. Perhaps another way to be elite and to try and get respect from your peers is to be a complete psycho freak!
Matt's angry. I think the thing is, though, is that it's not necessarily about respect from your peers with this. I think it's just a case of people who see...
They like open source. They want to ram it down everyone else's throat.
Their entire ethical perspective being tramped on by somebody else, so they have to retaliate. There was a situation
These people are psychos.
I think they do it for respect from their peers, but their peer group is not what you imagine it to be.
Their peer group is other psychos.
You know, I mean,
I agree with you.
The impression I got from what Matt was saying, it's something that I feel as well, is that. These people are seen to represent us. So if we say, I'm an open source person, they go, but you're all nutters. And you go, but we're not all fucking nutters, just a few nutters.
Just because you've got
beards. And we can't disassociate ourselves from them, which is something that we've talked about in the past with Stormen purporting to represent the community. Now, Stormen, to his credit, goes to a great length to say, I don't represent the community. Or he claims to represent the free software community, but not the open source community.
Yeah.
But I think people assume it of him anyway. But I think some of the less ethically guarded psycho members of the community would claim to represent all members of that community, even though they do not.
Just before we finish this segment, do you know, I saw Stormen do a talk at Fosdem.
Yeah.
And I, like many other people, you know, envisage Stallman as being, he's a very worldly person.
Maniac?
He's a very worldly person. He's done some great work and is very keen on his ethics, and nothing will shift him on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised and a bit disappointed by the fact that he actually came across rather arrogant at Fosdem, because a few people asked him questions. Bearing in mind that Fosdem's in Belgium, right? And a few people asked him questions, and they were certainly not English people. They were Belgium or French or German or whatever. And
there's no translation.
So their English wasn't necessarily as good as, you know, somebody who speaks fluent English.
So they tried to speak English to him, yeah?
And they tried to speak English to him, and he came across very kind of like, I can't hear you. I can't understand what you're saying. And it was just, I was there with a couple of the guys from work, and it was interesting because a couple of those guys didn't really know who Richard Stallman was, and no one came out with a good impression of him.
Right.
What do we expect, though, from a guy who forces people to change the name of their show if he's going to be on it to GNU Linux LinkedIn?
It's a shame because he's a complex guy, because in one way, what do you expect from a guy like you say like that? But what do you expect from a guy who created the GPL, which is tremendous?
Yeah. He's an interesting guy.
So he did a couple of good things once. I know that's a very harsh way of putting it.
That is quite harsh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, the flip side of that, of course, is that if he wasn't the way he was, we wouldn't be where we are today.
And people say that. Everyone needs a Stallman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stallman's not extreme. He's just persistent, I'd say. He's not a nutter. He's not like the people who've been abusing the
world. No, absolutely not. We wouldn't even begin to suggest that.
Yeah, he's very persistent. And you
he's
need
passionate about what he believes in.
And in reality, all of the people who are interested in using open source don't know who Richard Stallman is, and they're not going to never find out who he is necessarily. Certainly not necessarily read up on him, unless they're like going fanatical about it themselves.
Okay, it's the end of the show. On to the emails.
Yes.
Ken Fallon writes in. I'll start off, shall I? Ken Fallon.
Hi, Ken.
And, hello there, Ken. Nice to meet you,
Ken. Nice one, Ken.
Okay, so he wanted to make a point about .NET and Linux. He said he spoke about it. We spoke about it briefly on one of the previous episodes.
We did. You're not wrong.
And he said that in the best of traditions, he's going to give Lug Radio two reasons why .NET and Linux will only ever be a niche product. Two reasons.
Give us the most exciting reasons.
Excellent. What are the two reasons?
Well, summarising. You fuckers.
Well, you don't like Drag Safari, don't you?
Okay, so basically, the first one basically is saying ASP developers who develop on Windows have no motivation to code their files on Linux. For proof of this, see every single banner on a web page that says requires Internet Explorer.
Good point.
And his second point is Brucey Special Prize. His second point, I fell asleep halfway through, to be honest.
his second point was basically that managers will always choose Microsoft.net because Microsoft own it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Ken.
Cheers, Ken-o. Kendo Nagasaki.
I've got one here from Matt Melton, who's obviously a student at Liverpool University. He says, I'm a poor university student.
Hey, calm down!
Bollocks to being a poor student. I pay your...
He says, I'm a poor university student with absolutely no income. Surely I can get a concession. Yeah, we've got a concession. We'll pay for your fucking education.
Yeah, there's your concession. Full price.
But yes, you can get a concession just for whining enough. Matt Melton, who you will see at Lug Radio Live, has now set the new low bar for whining.
Oh.
So you have to do better than that in order to get a concession. Anyway, he also says that he's short money because his Vio died on him, and the reason it died on him is because he poked the fucking motherboard with a multimeter and
it
blew up.
I read that email.
Knob end.
So the laptop was on, and he was poking it with a multimeter, and he blew up.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah, followed by a cook motherboard, it says here. Well, what were you expecting?
Well, there's a surprise.
That's a bell end of the thing to do. But nonetheless, we look forward to seeing you at Lug Radio Live. Matt Melton, thank you for writing in.
Thanks. Look forward to seeing you.
I have one. So you expect us all to cheer us.
Woo!
Go
well
for it,
done.
Matt.
Right, we've got one from John Musa.
John who?
John Musa. Or Musa. I can't spell his name properly. Well, read out his name. Anyway, he says, just thought I'd tell you about a strange experience I had listening to your show.
Was it sexual?
I'm afraid not.
No?
He said, I put some episodes on my Rio Karma and was listening to it at night when I crashed out on the couch.
When he cranks one off.
Yes, as he whacked one off, he crashed out and listened to Lug Radio. He says, I fell asleep with it still playing. Your show has incorporated itself into my dreams.
Nice.
Needless to say, it was pretty bizarre. He doesn't go on to actually explain what the dream was. I'm assuming it was involving Ack and a gag ball. But he says at the end...
Does he have rubber sheets?
I reckon he probably does. I think he was probably glued to them in the next morning. keep up the good work, proving that Linux users aren't all quiet, socially inept geeks in our mother's basement. Some of us are loud, socially inept geeks in the pub. Thank you very much, John.
I've got one here from Carlos Westbrooks.
That's really strange.
CarlosWestbrooks.net. He says, how can I, from the US, donate to your organisation? I went to the NoCheck site, and it seems that I have to be from the UK's user service. Well, he also says, thanks for the great info. Carlos, however you pronounce it, I'm sorry that you can't donate. We'll see what we can do. If not, you can go to PayPal.
What's the solution, Matt?
PayPal. it seems to be. Go to the forums. Search for PayPal on our forums. Forums.lugradio.org.
Well, surely we'll put the PayPal link next to
we'll stick the PayPal link. We'll do that.
We will do exactly
we'll
that.
Stick it on, yes, the, on exactly the... It'll be on by the time the show goes out in the same way that the paintball ticket link is on the site. You know, as it should have been. I don't think so.
So, there you go. So, Carlos.
Hang on, let's caution some blame to that. Who's to blame for that?
That's my fault.
John. Oh, okay, yeah.
You're fucking looking at me. It's Jono.
I was looking around.
Actually, no, it's your fault as well. You could have stuck it on.
Next email.
Basically, Matt,
thank you, Matthew. Here we have another university student, Neil Cavan, but he's in Canada, so I'm not paying for his education. So, we love you, Neil. Thank you very much.
All right, Neil.
Oi. He says, you guys seem to have a love-hate relationship with Ubuntu. Some of you love it, the others hate it, by which he means the bald hates it.
but he'll be
migrating to Ubuntu from Gentoo, yeah, of all things. After learning about the inner workings of
init.d,
etc., I finally reached the point that I'm happy to just let a distro do the legwork for me and maybe actually get some work done on my system.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm sure we've said this before, so well done, Neil. You have seen the truth and the light. He thinks that Ubuntu has struck such a good balance and we should keep up the good work. So thank you very much, Neil.
Okay, who's next?
I'll go for next. Okay.
Go on.
A guy called Gantry York has written to us.
He wrote to us.
York Gantry.
And we abused his name.
Brain Gantry.
No, surely we didn't. I'm sure he grew up with his name being abused. Okay, he says he can't help but notice the advocacy for Python and Ubuntu. Really?
Fancy.
Have you picked up on that? Okay.
I'll tell you what, the best thing about it, he's sitting there going, they've taken the piss out of my name again!
He's probably getting in the car with an axe as we speak. Okay, so he said, what he'd like to have is a more expanded discussion on this topic. I really wouldn't, by the way. Just for the record.
Why don't we dedicate an entire week?
Let's not do that at all. He says, although I'm yet to use Ubuntu, I'd like to know what it offers me that Fedora doesn't. Having experimented with Mandrake and SUSE, I've returned to Fedora. So, yeah, Gantry, I'd stay with that decision. Sounds good,
Gantry,
to me.
Everything that doesn't work in Fedora, Ubuntu does properly.
What's broken? Totem's broken, isn't it, in Ubuntu? Works fine in Fedora.
Is that the dog, or is it the...
It's your nutsack, I believe, isn't it?
A bloke, hang on, bear with me. A bloke here says, by the way, the plays on the word totem have me falling out of my chair. I hereby submit an official request for more scrotal humour.
Hey!
I don't know who there could be any more scrotal.
Listen to episode 13, I think, from season 1, Three Men and a Scrote, or whatever it was.
it was called Three Men and a Scrote.
We like scrotal humour, bit of spare elbow skin humour.
We like scrotes, basically.
You right. like scrotes.
Okay,
got
you
another
are
one
a scrote.
David Harrison, he's from New Zealand, and he says, hello. Thanks for the show, which is far more interesting to listen to than the US-based ones.
It's all got a bit weird.
Why is it South African now?
It was going great, man.
Where everyone has a carrot firmly embedded up their arse and half the time is spent worrying what can be said for fear of lawsuits.
Woo!
Well, anyway, so he was basically saying he heard us slagging off Apple, and he says that he spent a lot of time with Linux and Apple, and when it comes to the desktop, Apple stuff is great because, you know, it'll just work.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
So
yeah.
There you go.
No, that's true. And so does Windows. It all just works.
But it's proprietary! For God's sake!
Sorry, a little bit of a rant there.
Thank you. That's just blown my eardrum. Thank you very much, Barry.
He says,
you and Matt are in the same club now.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Thanks, David, who uses www.lugradio.org to find out contact details.
You sound sick, isn't it? I had one from a guy called R. McClellan. I'm assuming R stands for something. Oh, yeah.
It didn't just go, R.
No.
McClellan.
I now christen you R.
No, it says it stands for Bob. Okay, I'm assuming that's Robert McLaren.
Bob.
He says, first of all, thanks for podcasting. Thanks for producing a great show. It helps lighten up my boring train journeys to and from work. You know, people on the bus, on the train, or on the space shuttle. People seem to enjoy the show.
Tell us where you work, and then we can imagine it.
He says,
naked.
He's not actually him.
He says it's a piece of paper with his writing on it.
Keep going, Johnny. You'll get there in the end.
He says, look, Radio Live looks like it will be good, and hopefully I'll be along.
Excellent.
We hope you'll be along too.
Thank you then. Thank you very much. I would love to read the rest of it out, but we haven't got time.
Simply haven't got the time.
Who's next?
I want to say a big thank you to Matt Jellyman, who has given us some money.
Money!
And he says, because you're worth it.
We are
worth it. Thank you very much,
in
Matt.
In so many ways.
Could I just ask, Matt, are you related to Brian Jellyman, who was the original keyboard player in Marillion?
Don't know.
I'm asking him, not
Shut
you.
Up.
Where's not
Shut
here,
up
Matt.
About fucking Marillion.
Fucking Marillion.
Emails, Matt. Look, they're things written down on a piece of paper, you great, enormous, throbbing
Well, no, they actually arrive on the computer and then you print them out.
Yeah. No, they arrive on pieces of paper,
No, they don't. That's called post. It's electrical.
I'm also, since we're on that subject, going to say thank you to Mr. Ben, who has also donated some money.
Mr. Ben!
Mr. Ben, you are a true hero to the world. Thank you very much indeed.
I wonder if Mr. Ben's got a body. He just seems to have a decapitated head before him.
Really?
Well, yes. While we're on the subject of saying thank you to people, I also want to say thank you to Alain Corcos.
Yes.
Alain.
Yes.
Ah, I'll do this in French. Nous sommes très désolés que nous n'avons pas mis votre nom sur la website.
mais there's an accent grave over here.
Nous l'avons oublié et maintenant c'est là. Donc, nous sommes désolés. Allô? Ça va?
Thank you very much, Matt. That's
great.
What did you say? I bet you said, you know...
Basically,
I said, look, I'm sorry.
It's that bearded twat Jono's fault.
I said, sorry we haven't put your name up there. We forgot. It's there now.
It was my fault. I had a bit of a busy week. I'm sorry, Alan. So, thank you very much for the images. And
just clarify what he did. Yeah, he created the images for Lug Radio Life.
And they look the business, and they're on loads of people's websites. Keep putting them on your websites, people. So,
Yep.
Anyone else got another one?
Yeah, I got one from Bruce Barr from MrGadgets.com. He just says, you guys rock, stumble across your excellent shows and been listening exclusively for the past week. Wow.
Thanks.
So thanks a lot for getting in touch. He goes on quite a bit about having lived in Britain for a while, working for a very big three-letter acronym, and things like that. And he's given us a technical question.
IBM, PPC.
Can I just say, Bruce, can you put that on the forums? Because there'll be lots of people who will answer it there for you, but...
We can't answer it
on the tech show, on Log Radio, I mean.
Matt, did you forget who you were for?
You bloody Judas!
Is there something you want to tell us?
So,
excellent stuff. Okay, Log Radio Live, still happening.
I've got one more before we talk about Log Radio Live.
Okay.
I feel that we need to say...
Just slip it in.
A big hello to Andrew Smith. Andrew Smith says, I've just started listening to the show and I want to tell you guys that I really like it. But wait, I have a reason.
Okay.
You see, he's got one reason. Not like bloody two reasons. He says, I really enjoy your arguments. It's not the standard circle jerk that most internet tech
shows. That's the second time that word.
I'm assuming.
Can some American person write in and explain to us?
Do you not know what a circle jerk is?
Extend your right hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then everybody, and then maneuver, except, you know, I'd be standing there.
Oh, for a while. For the people.
Yeah.
Right.
Ah, so if you want to...
Right, so it's a mutual appreciation society.
That was easy when we had two mics.
The right hand club.
We didn't actually do that to each other, by the way, for those people listening.
Fist with them. Yeah.
No, we did it to the camera.
No!
Nice hitting the mic there.
Not how they played it at my school.
He says, you argue and you argue well. None of this let's agree to disagree bullshit.
Ah.
And this makes the show informative. Often, on other shows, it's 1. Yeah, distro program language rocks. 2. Yeah, totally, or I disagree. Or 3, well, fair enough. You don't get that here, you get scrotal humour.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thanks also to Daniel von Linos. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about, but thanks for getting in touch.
Okay, let's move
Lug
on
Radio
then.
Live, Aid. Lug Radio Live.
Yes, Lug Radio Live. Get over to lugradio.org/live/2005.
What was that? That was a moment of Sparks randomness, that was.
So what was the fucking chicken impression in that?
I don't know, just my brain flatlined for a second there.
Yes, yeah. So Lug Radio Live, we're still working on finalising some little bits. We've got some things to sort out in terms of the timetable, haven't we? We need
Indeed.
To finalise the timetable.
Keep looking at the website.
Yeah, we've got to do
We keep
that.
Promising we're going to do it, but we're going to do it this week, aren't we?
I've tied a string around my finger.
Have you? Very good.
When it goes black and drops off, will you remember what it was for?
So, we're going to actually do it. We'll talk about it when we finish recording this segment, when we have a cup of tea.
So,
this orange soap, yes.
So, it's going to be brilliant.
So, yeah, keep an eye on the website. We keep updating it all the time with extra details.
Yeah, don't forget, though, it's £5 to get in, or £3 if you can think of a decent concession. We've got Bill Bailey? No, we haven't. We've got Bruce Dickinson? No, we haven't. We've got that bloke, what's his name? Bill Thompson, that's it. Bill Thompson coming along.
Certainly not got Bruce Dickinson coming along.
Wouldn't that be brilliant? Who else have we got? Bill anyone remember who's coming? We've got Simon Willison, great web guy. We've got,
I can remember. I just
Colin,
want to see
Colin Watson. I just want to see Markham, you match through it.
Colin Watson, the, Ubuntu and general sort of canonical guy.
Drew McClellan.
Drew McClellan.
Yeah, the guy with the armadillo
Sarah
on his head.
Sarah Ewan.
It's PlayStation Bird.
Gervais Markham.
I've said
Gervais Markham.
We've also got Robert Postel, who's going to do something on disaster recovery using Linux.
Don't forget Spline Boy.
Spline Boy.
Oh, that's going to be nice. Daniel Barron, good man. Yep, Dan's Guardian chap.
We've got KD confirmed, Mambo confirmed, Scundog confirmed.
Did you mention Ian Bell?
The Info Point Project.
Ian Bell, yep. Ian Bell, the
How
man.
Can you leave Ian Bell off the list?
Well, he's the boy. And we've got more people. We're talking to some more people about coming down. In fact, the other day, I saw a website of a guy who's built a life-size Transformer. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
What? And this guy's built a full size, not like a power
like
transformer.
Oh, like a fucking
I was thinking
wicked.
You're talking about Transformers robots
the
in disguise.
Robot
right.
Like the Citroen C4.
How old is it? I've seen loads of life size Transformers. All of them are life size.
He's built a full size Transformer, and there's a video on his website of him driving a Land Rover forward, and this massive thing is about 9 feet tall, seriously, goes down and stops this Land Rover.
Wicked!
Fucking scary stuff, and
how are we gonna get it into the terrace box?
You sure it wasn't just CGI, Johnny?
It looks really real. Seriously.
What about the bit where it blasted off into space?
Sorry, CG.
Did he stop looking for it? Well, Will Smith ran in and shot it with a laser pistol.
So basically, I emailed him and asked him if he'd come along, and I've not had a reply back from him yet, but that's the kind of stuff.
You know, maybe he should go into Make Magazine, Jono.
Sorry?
Yeah, maybe he should be in Make Magazine.
Make Magazine, yeah.
The other thing is, if you want to do a stand in the expo bit...
If you've only got a couple of spaces left, so get your emails into
all the chairs have gone, so you're going to have to stand, basically.
Also, we've probably got a couple of spaces left. If you want to do a talk, then do get in touch with us and let us know what you want to talk about. Please get along to Lug Radio Live. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be awesome.
Really, this is going to be the Linux open source event of the UK, basically.
And not just Lug Radio Live. There's going to be the paintball the day after.
There's the paintball. There's the drinking. Don't forget the drinking. We are British, after all.
It's going to be superb. And we've got people coming from all over the world.
English law says you have to drink in the evening.
It does. Yeah. No, it doesn't really. But it does. Let's talk about the competition.
Ah, yes.
Let's talk about that.
Nikopol.
Whose real name is Mark.
Nikopol has heroically
given us three tickets.
What was the four and you've nicked one?
No.
Okay.
Three tickets.
We don't have to pay to get in a friggin' our own expo, do we? I'd be very disappointed if that's the case.
Nikopol's given us three tickets to give away on the show to anyone who wants to come in and can't afford their own ticket or whatever. So here's the deal. What we're going to do is we're going to run a little bit of a competition. What you have to do is ring in to Lug Radio, give us, say, make it a maximum of 10 seconds. If you go over 10 or 11 seconds, we'll disqualify your ass. So ring in, give us, say a funny message, a surreal message, whatever, but probably funny's going to be better. Ring in on, what's the number, Jono?
The number is...
Well done, Matt, well done.
While Matt was speaking there, we were just looking for the piece of paper that I wrote it down on. Thanks, Matt, for holding that together.
That was absolutely brilliant.
You should have a job in presenting.
We were fucking panicking.
Hey, I've got podcasts on my homepage.
Oh, yeah, liar.
Do you cast your pods far?
Every time.
You've got nice tracks.
And near.
So.
Anyway, The number is.
What is that number?
Ring 0870-931-1730. That's 0870-931-1730.
And for our international callers, it's +44.
+44-870-931-1730. That's +44-870-931-1730.
So yeah, make it funny, make it bizarre, make it whatever. Just
make it 10 seconds long.
Don't be embarrassing. Don't be crap. Just make it good.
Don't sound like your teacher. Honestly, what was that? That was shit. No, just ignore Matt. Send it in. If it's shit, we'll just delete it.
So, otherwise, you might get one of Matt's lectures where he's not angry, he's just disappointed.
Actually, for the one that's really shit, we'll just get them to pay for everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, concession prize.
Do we have to say anything like, call the judge at national rate?
No.
Please ask the bill payer's permission before calling.
Probably, actually, yeah.
You're all clever people.
While I think about it, decision on the winners will be down to the Lug Radio team, and no correspondence will be entered into.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard enough to get Sue Malia back in the first
place. So mail us at show@lugradio.org.
Yes.
Don't forget clan.
Yeah,
clanland.lugradio.org.
Yep. That's for gaming clan, by the way. We just make that
for
clear.
Gay clan.
IRC on Freenode. Go to channel
hash.
Lug Radio.
That's a pound sign if you're American, which is no way anywhere near a fucking pound sign. It doesn't look remotely similar, but the Americans call it.
It's over your threes.
Incidentally,
and by the way, Macs don't have one, do they, Jono?
It looks like a
tiny. They don't have a hash key.
They certainly fucking don't.
It looks like a tiny noughts and crosses board. Oh, sorry, tic tac toe board. Fucking yanks.
It's a sharp sign.
Some bloke mailed in and says, my hash key's working. Which I thought was cool.
What was his name?
I don't know, some bloke. Whoever it is, mail us.
Stoner Bill, I think.
Stoner Bill.
There was this whole kind of take a bag on this vibe. Oh my, it was great.
Incidentally, the IRC channel's packed. I mean, there's tons of people in there, which is nice.
Do anyone of them ever talk?
Packed with silent. No, they do talk quite a lot.
Yeah, it's got quite a lot of people in there.
I went in there once.
Really? I've been in there before, and I was chatting away merrily. My nick, by the way, kind of gives away who I am. It's Matthew Ravel. And a couple of people saying, hey, do any of the guys who present the show ever come in here? And I said, I've heard they do sometimes. And they didn't seem
to
get the
joke. Was a quality thing. I was on hashtag.
Well, you're only here
GTK.
On half the shows, Matt.
I was asking for help about... That was harsh.
What did he say?
He said Matt was only on half the show.
I was working late last week.
I was asking for help with Python GTK. And there was some guy in there saying...
You should stop using Python.
No, he had a big problem because he couldn't find very good documentation for some of the GNOME stuff. And then he said, yeah, just like the Lug Radio guy said. And I said, we're glad you liked it. He went, wow, are you a guy from Lug Radio? It was brilliant. I felt like a pop star.
That's the only time you'll ever say that, didn't you? You say, I'm glad you liked it. Knowing full well the guy's going to say, hey, can I meet you around the back of the IRC channel and I'm going to give you some lip service? My lips are custom designed to move your little ginger foreskin backwards and forwards.
Hope springs eternal.
anyone else?
Did you have a ginger foreskin?
I'm sure that's not the way it works. If you eat a lot of carrots, I think.
Or Sonny D. This is a family show, come on.
No, it isn't. It's not. Yeah, it's not work safe at all. Remember, there's going to be language.
There is.
Fuck off. Stuart language and adult themes.
Wiki.lugradio.org is the other one.
Oh, God, what else?
That's the transcription service, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Which seems to be going along nicely.
Well done, guys.
Oh, has it actually gone along nicely?
I've not seen any changes.
No. Some guys did a transcript of the Mike Hearn interview.
Oh, really? Cool.
Fantastic. Yeah, because that's the thing I went through to find out who asked the most questions, and it turned out to be you, Jono Bacon. So, no fucking abuse from you and Mysterious Cities of Bald about me hogging the interview anymore.
Totally hogged that interview. You did. Ginger twat.
I have genuine documentary evidence that it's the
Oh, I was going to believe a wiki over my own ears.
It was the fact that...
You listened to it and counted them?
I've listened to it.
This guy has listened to it and I've counted them.
All right.
So fuck off.
Lug Radio people, let's give our listeners an insight into how interviews are done in the Lug Radio studio.
No, let's not. Let's not ruin it for him.
Let's fucking tell these people, right? Just to prove him wrong. Okay, basically, I have a phone plugged into a black box which plugs into the mixing desk. And we pass the phone around the studio to speak to whoever we're on the phone to.
Trying to get the phone back off ACK is just...
We basically use a special series of mime language techniques to indicate where the phone's going to next.
And you can imagine.
In the Mike Hearn interview, ACK... Whenever I held the phone and was about to ask a question, Ack nicked it off me. And then Aid nicked it off him.
He nicked it off me, yeah.
Yes. So, Ack, you are a bastard.
Yeah. You two are a bunch of whining tosspots. You really are.
But yeah, you know, maybe you should delete the wiki, actually.
People are actually working on it.
Give them a chance.
It does take a bit of time, but Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was wiki.lugradio.org.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening, people.
Goodbye. I'll speak to you on the next one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Well, I'll speak to you on the next one. The rest of us are here too, pal.
Are you? Oh, right, really? Really? Are you here?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I know at least three of us will be here.
Are you going to come to the next one, Matt?
He's going to punch you in a minute.
He doesn't look happy. He's just not answering. He's disappointed in us all. Say goodbye.
Sorry, Matt. Teacher.
Bye.
Good morning.
See you later, guys.